Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, start with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit a man? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed, and God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We ask that you speak to our hearts, and God will give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. If I were to ask you, are you saved? What would you say? Absolutely. I heard absolutely. Why? Why would I believe that you are saved? Well, you know, that's what we're talking about here. The greatest tragedy of the church today is people who profess to live the Christian life, yet they do not live for Christ. They have a profession. You say you're saved. How could you prove that to me? Well, you know, millions profess Christ, and they're baptized. They're made members of the First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City or Podunk, Texas, whatever they have a church at. But they're members of the church, but yet they do not follow Christ and live for Christ. They've just joined the church, and let me tell you something, be surprised how many of our members are got their name on the roll, and yet I haven't seen them in years. You know, I couldn't tell you all of them. Now, are they saved? If you ask them, yes, they made a profession of faith. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. But how would I know, and how would you know, how would the world know that they're saved? It says here, nor do we give all they are to reach the lost and needy of the world. Are they saved? Do they have a genuine faith in their life? I look at a lot of people today and I see that, oh, they profess Christ. They go to church. But yet that's all I see a lot of times is people come to church, they go home, and that's all. They never read their Bible. They never pray. They act like they've never grown in their Christian life. In other words, they act like children. The moment something goes bad in their life, they fall out of church. They get mad at the Sunday school teacher. They get mad at the deacons. They get mad at the preacher. They just get mad. They get mad at God. Are they saved? Do they have a genuine faith? This is the temptation to profess faith, and yet they have no works in their life. Now, the background is verse 14, and it gives two questions. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And then the second thing, can that faith save him? Can a man have faith and not do good works? And can faith without good works save a man? You see, that's pretty good questions, isn't it? It's a question we ought to look at. A professing faith, and yet we do not have any works to back them up. Every thinking person here tonight that is honest knows the answer would be no. No. A person who really believes something, if you really believe in Jesus Christ, if you really put your faith in God, if you really love God, what are you going to do? Now, if I ask you, do you love your wife? Do you love your children? You would say, yes. And I ask you, how do I know? Because what are you doing? You're always doing something for them, amen? You're always acting like you love them, you see? You're always working for them. You're always giving your best to them. If I ask you that, do you love God and you never do anything for God? You never come to church, but maybe on Christmas and Easter. Mother's Day now, some more people show up on Mother's Day than they do Christmas anymore because we love the world more than we love God. A person who believes and loves something, he acts, doesn't he? He acts. He puts actions into his life, and yet millions in our convention, I'll talk about our Southern Baptist Convention. We have millions of people professing faith in Jesus Christ, yet they never show up for Christ. You can't find them. They belong, they've got their name on a roll, yet you cannot find them. The last count I had, actively, about everybody taking off the people who died, we have close to 1,200 members in church. But on any given Sunday, you're lucky to have 450 here. And in Sunday school, Bible study, we call it now, you're lucky to have 280 now to 300. Does that say anything about our love for Christ? Does that say anything about our profession for Christ? You see, when we love something, what do? We support it, don't we? We support our children, and I'm not mad at anybody, okay? Don't think that, because I did the same thing. When you love your children, you go out and sit, I know, you sit in a ball game in the rain, snow, whatever comes. Preacher, we've got to go to see our grandkids, or we've got to go to see our kids. And I'm thinking, man, it's cold out there tonight. But you know the difference? They're your kids and not mine. When they were my kids, I said, y'all have an indoor sport so it'll be warm. It's a good thinking process. But you know, that's what we do, don't we? We support them because we love them. You have something at the church, like a revival, and we come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't go to it. Well, if you'd have told me about it earlier, I'd have planned to be there. I told you a year ago. You see, how early do you have to have? It's just an excuse, you see. It's just an excuse that we really don't love to go to church that much. We will profess we do, but yet the world gets into our lives and to ourselves, and we say one thing and we do the other. Well, I know people have been baptized and they've joined the church. They attend, but what do they want? They want their way instead of God's way most of the time. They live like everybody else in the world. I'm so glad we still have Sunday night crowds. I was looking at this crowd while Brother Teddy was singing, and I said, this is a good crowd. We've got a good Sunday night crowd, and we've got a bunch over there. And I honestly believe our people here love to go to church. I believe you're excited about going to church. We've got a generation that really loves to go to church here. And I thank God for that. The only difference with these people I'm talking about and our church is most of the time they don't attend church at all on Sunday night. They only come on Sunday morning. And they clean up their speech on Sunday morning, and the rest of the week, well, it's anybody's guess. Man, you wouldn't believe these stories that I hear sometimes and coming from Christians' mouths. And the words that they say. And James asked that piercing question, what does it profit a man if he says he has faith and does not do good works? Can that faith save him? Now, I'm asking you that same question. What does it profit a person if he says he has faith and never does anything? Can that faith save him? Look what it says. The man says he has faith. In other words, he says, yes, I know Jesus Christ. I've heard a lot of people, I knock on their door, and the first thing I ask them, do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, I know Jesus Christ. But it's only what he says. It's not something that he shows in his life. He only says that he knows Jesus Christ, but his life reflects nothing of knowing Jesus Christ. He does not live for Christ. He does not look for Christ. Man, let me tell you something. I'm looking for Christ at any moment. I'm kind of like in Revelation, Lord, come quickly. I love that verse in Peter. We're looking for that glorious, no, it's Titus, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to be looking for that day, and not only looking for it, but living for him while we're looking for it, okay? If you do not look for it, and you do not want his appearing, and it's only something you say, verse 17 says, your faith is dead faith. It's called a dead faith. Look in verse 17. Thus also faith by itself is not, if it does not have works, is dead. Look at verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It's called dead faith there. Look at verse 26. It's called dead faith there also. His faith, the spirit, is dead. It's called a dead faith. A faith of a false profession is simply a faith that is dead. And I believe that is what we have in our churches, in a lot of our churches. We have an unprofitable faith, it says in verse 14. It's going to profit you nothing. And in verses 1 Corinthians 15, 2, it says it's a vain or empty faith. That kind of faith does not get it. It's not going to cut it in your life. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's a dead faith. It is a faith that profits you absolutely nothing. You can't get to heaven on something like that. For the Bible says, many will say unto me, I'll get that in a minute. If we really believe in Christ, if we really believe that he is Lord, that he is good, that he loves us, he gave his life for us, then we're going to live for him. Amen? We're going to live for him. We will live a Christ-centered life. We want to know him. We want to know more about him. Let me look at this verse 15 through 17. Look at that. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, it's a destitute Christian behavior. Look at it. A brother or sister faces some need. They're out there in the world. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. They are unable to properly dress to stay warm. It's a cold winter. They don't have the gas in their house. They don't have the clothes. They don't have the food. And you know it's there. And we see them. and we share these words of comfort, and we speak peace and give them a few little items, are you really helping them? If you don't give them the things that they need and provide the things that they need, most churches and most believers go this far. Even the unbelievers will help people when we see a need. I see people all the time that's out for a cause and helping people, especially at Christmas. We like to visit. We like to comfort. We wish people well. All y'all stay warm tonight, yet we don't have the electricity in our house. We can't afford it. But you stay warm any way you can and don't give them the things that they need. What good has it done? Faith, if it does not do good works, is dead faith. Let me tell you something. True faith loves. True faith cares. True faith reaches out to other people to help them, to help the needy. Man, I was so glad to hear this year, instead of a Thanksgiving meal here, we're going to take up some Thanksgiving dinners and give to people that need a Thanksgiving dinner. Doing something for someone else besides ourselves. True faith really works. True faith is a faith of love that helps people. True faith gets you to attend Bible study on Sunday morning. I don't have to beg you to come. You're going to be there because you love God. It goes beyond to give to meet the needs that people have. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You can just do it on your own to help someone else out. Now, look what it says in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Two arrogant men are here. James paints a picture of these two men, but only one man speaks, you see. He says, you have faith, I have works. You have faith, I have works. The imaginary man, he has faith. He believes that he is saved by his faith. He believes God has accepted him and that one day God will take him to heaven when he dies. Then, like I said, look at Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He said he had faith, but he didn't show it anyway. The imaginary man, he claims to have works. Man, I've got out there and done works and works and works. And that God will accept him because I have done good works. Man, people tell me all the time, you just don't know what I do in the community. You don't know what I do for people. Well, he lives a good life, as good a life as he can. But listen once again to Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful what? Works. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, Jesus pulls no punches. It's not a matter of faith. It's not a matter of works. He says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. A person who truly believes in Christ will naturally work for Jesus Christ. It's going to be done because you love Jesus. You love everything about Jesus. And what you do, you don't have to publicize it on the billboard. You don't have to brag about it. It just flows from you. People really know by your actions. I started out saying, how do people know that you're saved? How would I know that you're saved? Let me tell you something. I wonder about a lot of church members if they've ever really been saved, because they never show up at God's house. they never read or grow in the kingdom of God. They never do anything that God's asked them to do with their life. Verses 19 through 20. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. There is a believer, his belief is in God. It's said to be a good thing, but believing in God, he says, is not enough. It is a dead faith. It is a dead belief. You need a living belief. You say you love God, but do you work for God? Do you really love God? Therefore, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Do not be vain. Do not have an empty profession of faith, true faith. One that gets you into heaven is a living faith for Jesus Christ. It stirs a person to live for God. Man, it does. It builds that fire in you. It makes you desire to live for Christ, desire to come to church, desire to be a revival. You see? Somebody asked me one time, said, when are we going to have a revival? I said, we've had them all year long. Where have you been? Oh, I didn't know we had one. Is the only time you want to come to church is during a revival? Revival is every day in the Christian's life. We need to be revived, folks. We need that stirring of the Holy Spirit. Let your light so shine, it says, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you have a living faith, it's going to be a light to everyone around. They're not going to have to wonder if you're saved. They're going to know you're saved by your life, how you lived your life. Look at what it says. Verses 21 and 24 gives us another example of a living faith. Abraham, it says, was justified by his works. Was he saved by works? No. Abraham proved that he was justified by what? He believed God by what he did. His faith was proven, you see. He did what God said. Abraham, offer Isaac upon the altar. Now, a dead faith will not follow through with that. A dead faith will say, are you crazy? I'm not going to sacrifice my son. What was God asking him to do? Have faith and show me your faith, Abraham. I have told you that the promised seed would come from Isaac. And now I'm telling you to sacrifice him. What do you do? Most of us would say, no, I can't go that far, Lord. Ask me to do something else. Ask me to go knock on a door somewhere. Ask me to join a Sunday school class, but I can't give up my son. The Bible says Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do. He obeyed God. You know what? Abraham had such faith. His faith was such proven in God that the Bible says God said he was a friend of God. Now, also, I believe Abraham knew that God could raise him up if that's what it took. But I believe Abraham knew that Isaac wasn't going to be sacrificed, because at the bottom of the mountain, he told his servants, he said, you stay here with the donkeys. Me and my son shall return. You look it up in Scripture. The boy and I will be back. I don't know what he expected, but I know one thing. He put his faith in God. And the Bible says he was justified by what he did. It was a proven faith. And the Bible says he was called a friend of God. Why? Because he walked with God every day. Oh, we stumble, we fall, we trip. Abraham did. If you've been studying the book of Genesis with us, you'll know that he wasn't perfect. Man, he made some big blunders. But you know, we all do, don't we? But our faith ought to be proven. And then he goes on to another one. I love both of these stories in verse 25 and 26. Rahab, you know who Rahab is? The Bible says she's a harlot. That's a prostitute. You know, she wasn't a very good lady. But, well, she's about the lowest thing in society, wasn't she? She was looked down upon by all the other people. But she heard about God. The Bible says she heard about what God was doing with his people. And she believed. And she put her faith in God. And she was proved, it was proved by her works. She acted upon her faith. And even the very lowest cleans their life up and follows God. Every day we need to put our faith and trust in God and follow him. Why did she betray her country and protect the spies? Simply because she believed God and God's promises. She believed God. She believed, therefore, and acted, and her faith was put to work. Now, is your relationship tonight with God real? If it's real, it's going to be a living faith, one that works for God. A faith that works is a living faith. A body without the Spirit of God is dead, simply dead. A dead person does not move. A dead person does not act. A dead person does not breathe. A dead person has no life. A dead person is empty. And a dead person is useless. So is a faith that says something and does nothing. It is dead. So tonight, as a church member, a Christian, is your faith a living faith for Jesus Christ? Is it reaching out to God? Is it reaching out to others? Is it working in a world that is destitute? Is it working? Is it a living faith? I can't answer that for you. I believe most of you can say, yes, it is. My faith is living. I have proven it because I love God and I'm here tonight. But oh, what about those who aren't? Those that were here this morning who walked out of here thinking, you know, that was a good message. I wish they'd have been here to hear it. I'm all right. I don't need to go back tonight. They need it the most. They need it the most. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for a living faith. A living faith not only professes Christ, but lives and works and loves Jesus Christ. If we're here tonight and our faith is not real, Lord, I pray that we'll come and make it right. Lord, that we'll just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, give me an active, living faith. Not one just that professes, but one that acts and works and proves every day that I love Christ. For it's in your precious name that we ask these things. Amen.